I bought some new shoes. I had to. Yeah. Thank you. I took a shower and everything. Yeah, I know that makes sense. No. Thursday, it was a calm day, and I burnt that brush pile, and I didn't put my work boots on. Some of the brush was away from the main fire, and so I got up here and was throwing brush in the fire, and I told my wife, I thought, man, I smell rubber burning. And a few seconds later, I had a sensation I hadn't had since I left the fire department, and I looked down, and my shoes were smoking, and my feet were burning. It was hot. I thought it was just ashes I was standing on, so I had to hop over, kept switching feet, and I hopped out of there and had to kick my shoes off and let them cool off. So I stand there barefooted for a while, throwing brush on the fire. Yeah. Well, at least it wasn't my pant leg caught on fire. But the brush pile's been burnt. I got a new pair of shoes out of it. I didn't even charge the church for that. Yeah, don't worry. I do know what to do with fires. I just, that day I had my mind somewhere else, I guess. We're going to continue in Romans. We're in chapter 4 this morning. Same title as last week, God Will Justify. Last couple weeks we've been talking about how the law doesn't justify anyone. And I didn't preach all the text. If I'd have preached it all, we'd be a month and a half or 2 months into that. But today we're going to start getting into the meat. It's all meat, but I mean the good meat, the real solid food. Do you know that you can only be justified through Jesus Christ? Okay. Some people don't know that, or some people don't believe that. I found out when I preached the message of counterfeit Christianity in John chapter 8, I was able to come to terms with some things. There's a lot of believers in Jesus Christ in this country. This country's full of believers, but there's not as many disciples. And that's a big difference. Jesus said a believer is someone who, a disciple is someone whose word abides in them. The Greek means finds a home in them. And Jesus said, they stay in me, and the truth sets them free. I'm going to preach some truth to you this morning from God's word. And I've already prayed and asked the Lord to bless this. I know His Word's blessed, but if there's any here today that don't know Him or are on the edge of making a decision, I hope this is going to seal it for you. The text is in Romans 4, verses 13 through 25. Clearly, God's promise to give the whole earth to Abraham and his descendants was based not on his obedience to God's law, but on a right relationship with God that comes by faith. If God's promise is only for those who obey the law, then faith is not necessary, and the promise is pointless. For the law always brings punishment on those who try to obey it. The only way to avoid breaking the law is to have no law to break. So the promise is received by faith. It is given as a free gift, and we are all certain to receive it, whether or not we live according to the law of Moses. If we have faith like Abraham's, for Abraham is the father of all who believe. That is what the Scriptures mean when God told him, I have made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you will have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. In fact, his faith grew stronger, and in this he brought glory to God. He was fully convinced that God is able to do whatever He promises, and because of Abraham's faith, God counted him as righteous. And when God counted him as righteous, it wasn't just for Abraham's benefit. It was recorded for our benefit too, assuring us that God will also count us as righteous if we believe in Him, the one who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead. He was handed over to die because of our sins. And He was raised to life to make us right with God. Father, Your Word is blessed. You said it will accomplish what You sent it out to do. I'm asking You through the Holy Spirit to take this message to the heart of everyone here, to open up our ears that we may hear from heaven. And Lord, if there's anyone here who is on the edge of making a decision, I ask You, Holy Spirit, to convict them and show them their need for a Savior. I know all things are done in Your time, Father, and I ask that You would bind any spirits here who may try to deceive or distract. And I ask this all for Your glory and the glory of our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible defines faith as the confidence that we have, the confidence of what we hope for will actually happen. I like that. This is the New Living Translation, by the way. I'm preaching out of today. Faith is the confidence that what we hope for will actually happen. It gives us assurance about things we cannot see. Through their faith, the people in the days of old earned a good reputation. We just come out of that chapter in Sunday school, the faith chapter. So faith is being confident of something that you're expecting to get from the Lord, even though you can't see it, even though you can't explain it. You know, people can ask you, well, how does God convict people of sin? Well, I know it's through the Holy Spirit. How does the Holy Spirit do that? I don't know. I mean, I can stand here and tell you, I don't know how the Lord works on people, but I know prayer works. I enjoyed that testimony that Janie shared. And the same God who listened to this prayer and healed this young lady's ACL will listen to you when you're praying for the lost. He listens. He doesn't always answer in your time frame, but He will listen. It also says in the Scriptures, it is impossible to please God without faith. Anyone who wants to come to Him must believe that God exists and that He rewards those who sincerely seek Him. That makes plenty of sense to me. Without faith, you cannot please God. And the writer of Hebrews says you have to believe, number one, that God exists. Why would you seek Him if you really didn't think He existed? And he said, then number two, you have to understand He will reward those who seek Him. This is a lifetime of seeking. Paul's not talking about he's going to reward you by salvation when you seek Him and you find Him. That's one reward. But he's talking about a lifetime of seeking, a lifetime of asking, that God will reward that. We talked in Sunday school this morning. Brother Wayne brought up a point that those in sin are having their fun now. And that's why a lot of people don't want to give sin up. They're having too much fun. I talked to a teenage girl one time about her salvation, and she said, oh, I believe in Jesus, and I want to be a Christian, but right now I want to have my fun. And when I'm done having fun, then I'll become a Christian. And I told her, you may not make it out of your teenage years. In fact, this may be the only chance you have to receive Jesus Christ. People think, well, that's a little theatrical there, isn't it? I mean, aren't you trying to build this up? No. I spent 5 years on the ambulance, 6 years on the fire department. I've seen a lot of people that didn't know their time was up and their time was up. You don't have a guarantee of tomorrow. You need to think about that. You know, our own mortality scares us. We don't like to think about it. We don't like people talking about it. But we're all going to die. And here's God who is offering us salvation through Jesus Christ. But I've heard a lot of people say, well, I need to think about it a little bit. I need to make a decision. And then we discuss the fact that those who are Christians now may suffer now because of their faith, but they'll be rewarded in the end. Jesus talked about the man that was in hell in Luke 16. Rich man, he said, lived well, ate well, and there was a beggar brought to his gate every day just to beg the crumbs that fell off his table that he fed his dogs with, and he wouldn't give him anything. And both men died, and said the angels carried the rich man into paradise, or the poor man into paradise. Jesus said the rich man was buried, and in hell he lifted up his eyes. And he saw the rich man and Abraham, and he said, Father Abraham, let him dip his finger in water and touch my tongue and cool my tongue, because I'm tormented in this fire. And Abraham said, "Son, you remember in your life you had good things, and Lazarus was tormented." He said, "Now Lazarus has the good, and you're tormented." So, I'm speaking from experience. One thing kept me from coming to the Lord for so long was I was really enjoying my sin. You know, I was having a blast, having a good time, until I realized my sin was doing me. The things I thought I was doing, they were actually doing me. That's what I'd become. And there's only one remedy for that, and that's Jesus Christ. So, in the preceding verses, Paul points out that God declared Abraham righteous by faith. And he made the point that this was faith before circumcision, faith before the law. It was faith, period. You see, he's talking to this Jewish congregation, and he said the law was 450 years after Abraham. He started out, he said, God made a promise to Abraham. And the Jews thought, well, you know, we can't always keep the law, but we're circumcised, and that makes us righteous because that makes us children of Abraham. And Abraham became righteous because he was circumcised. That's what they thought. And Paul said, no, Abraham was declared righteous before he was ever circumcised. And God gave him circumcision as a seal of the covenant that he made with him by promise. There was no law involved. You see, what the law said was, if you do not keep it, you're cursed. God's promise to Abraham was a promise made, and Abraham received it by faith. Now, righteousness is described as a right relationship with God conferred by a divine approval. The Scripture tells us Abraham believed God, and God counted him as righteous because of his faith. Now, counted, the King James uses the word here, imputed. The NIV is credited. Okay. The word here in the Hebrew means to credit to someone's account or to approve something. It was used to speak of the priest as God's representatives having the authority to inspect the animals or the grain that you brought for offering. When you brought an animal to sacrifice to the Lord, before anything was done, the priest checked that animal out from head to toe, and they could say, yes, you can offer this to God, or they'd say, no, you cannot offer this to God. It's not acceptable. One thing that Jesus got so put out about when he drove those people out of the temple was, I've read this, that historically there was guys that had these lambs to sell for the sacrifices. And these people would travel for miles to come and offer their offerings, and the priest and them had this deal worked out, and they'd look at their lamb and say, that lamb's got a blemish, you can't offer that. Well, man, I traveled 500 miles to offer a lamb. Do you know where I can buy one? Why, by coincidence, I do. You know, and this guy over here's got these lambs, and they're pre-inspected, and they're good. So they would sell them the lamb, they would take his lamb and put it in the pen with those other lambs. They said that's one of the things that Jesus got very irate about. And they were doing this in the court of the Gentiles. So they were not setting a good example to the Gentiles. And you know, when God promised Abraham that many nations would come from him, that Hebrew word can also be rendered Gentile nations. So God beforehand promised Abraham the Hebrew, I'm going to bless Gentiles through your seed. God, in effect, evaluated Abraham's faith and credited it to his account as righteousness. God, who knows the heart of all men and women, he saw the faith, he heard the faith of Abraham, and he said, I'm counting you as righteous. Now, we can sit there and go, whoa, wait a minute, I've read about Abraham. He lied. You know, he had his wife lie. Abraham was a little bit shady sometimes. But God said, but he's a man of faith. Now, God judges sin. But remember, before the law, sin was not imputed. It was sin, but it wasn't counted against you because there wasn't a law. The Bible says that. I didn't make that up. And the faith that Abraham has, Paul goes on to describe this. He says, even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. I like that. When there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. I realized over the years that God waited until Abraham knew it was impossible for him and Sarah to have a kid. And he kept promising him a kid. He started promising him that when he was 75. Now he's 100. God's been promising him a child, he and his wife, for 25 years. And they even went as far as him to take Hagar, her servant, as his wife, so he could have a child through her, because they thought maybe we didn't quite understand what God meant. We're going to help God out. How many of you know God doesn't need your help? You know, sometimes we think we can help God out. God doesn't need your help. He just needs you to be available. He needs you to be obedient and to do His will, not yours. It's real easy to do your will and put God's name to it. That's how we justify what we do. Well, this is just what I think the Holy Spirit's leading me to do. You need to be sure the Holy Spirit's leading you to do that. Okay? God does not like having His name placed on something that He didn't initiate. He doesn't like that. So, Abraham believed God's promise, and it said he was fully convinced that God could do what He said. I like that because this refers to us today, or can refer to us. There's things that God promises us today that we don't see any way. I don't see how you're going to do this. Maybe He calls us to a ministry and we say, God, I don't teach. There is no way. And God looks at you and says, well, I see a minister. Well, I don't see one. Well, He said, don't worry about what you see. This is what I see when I look at you. And God kept saying, Abraham, you're going to have a son. And at one time said he laughed. God said, you're going to have a son. He kind of chuckled and said, how am I going to do that when I'm an old man? You see, at that moment, Abraham was focused on what he could do. But the Bible says he actually gave glory to God because he knew his body was dead. He knew Sarah's womb was dead. And Abraham did what we all should do. He said, I'm just going to have to give this to God. I don't think God's lying to me. But man, He's been telling me for 25 years that we're going to have a kid and we don't have a kid. And God, now it's past time with both of us. I don't think we can do this, but You said we could. That's how it is when you get saved. If you tried to get saved on your merits, you need to repent of that. You cannot be saved unless you know you need to be saved. And to be saved, I've told you, in the Greek and Hebrew, both means to be rescued from imminent danger. You have to realize you're in danger before you can call out for a Savior. Even though there was no reason for hope. I love that. Even though there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping. We have the promise of heaven. How many have ever seen it? Don't raise your hand. If you do, I won't talk to you after church. But we have that reason. I'm convinced of it. I'm convinced there is a realm of the Spirit just as real as this realm you and I are in, and that God rules. I'm convinced there is a kingdom coming that the Son will rule in forever, and I'll be there with Him. And that affects the way I live, because I want to see Him, and I want Him to be happy when I see Him. God will also count those righteous who have the same faith that Abraham had in relationship with Jesus Christ. Now, I know you might think that sounds a little bit muddled there, but God will count us righteous. That's what the writer says. God put that in the Scriptures so we could understand and be assured of the fact He will count us righteous if we have the same faith. It wasn't just for Abraham's benefit, the Scriptures say. It was recorded for our benefit. Now, that's the kind of God God is. He said, look, I counted Abraham as righteous because of his faith. Now, I can count you righteous. You see, Jesus Christ took the curse of the law upon Him. The Bible said, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. That's in the law of Moses. Being hanged on a tree was the most embarrassing and shameful way for a Jew to be executed. Because that meant God's curse was on you. And that's why the Bible says to the Jews, the cross is a stumbling block. Many of the Jews said that He can't be the Messiah. He died cursed by God. And they didn't believe He'd been raised. So what's God asking you and I to believe today? To have the faith of Abraham, what is God asking us to believe? Paul said in Romans 1 that the good news is about his son Jesus. In his earthly life, he was born into King David's family line. And he was shown to be the Son of God when he was raised from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. He is Jesus Christ our Lord. You see, he died for us, but the Bible also says that God raised him from the dead, which proved every claim he made. Buddha is still in his grave. Muhammad's still in his grave. Confucius is still in his grave. Jesus Christ is seated at the right hand of the Father in the kingdom of heaven. He's alive and well. You need to believe that. If you say, well, I'm not so sure I can believe that, then you can't be saved. That's just plain and simple. Jesus said, I'm the only way you can get to God. I'm not one of the ways. There's not all these paths that lead to God. He said, I'm the only way you can get to God. If you don't believe that, you can't be saved. You can say, well, I believe in Jesus, but I think there's a lot of paths to get to God. You're going to get to Him, but you're not going to like it when you get there. I'll just share that with you. You're not going to like it when you get there. He came into the very world He created, John said. But the world didn't recognize Him. He came to His own people, and even they rejected Him. But to all who believed Him and accepted Him, He gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not of a physical birth resulting from human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. John wrote this. He said, Jesus came to the world He created. The world didn't recognize Him. He went to the people that He was part of. They rejected Him. Not all of them, but a lot of them rejected Him. But He said, to those who believe in Him, He has given the power to become children of God. That's God's doing. It's not from me obeying any rules. It's not from me earning anything by my merits and coming to God and say, look, I'm a pretty good guy. And God says, well, let me look at your sheet here. Yeah, you haven't really done anything too bad lately, so okay, I'm going to go ahead and save you. You can't come to God on your merits. You can't resolve that, well, I'll just stop doing this, this, and this, and then I'll become a Christian. I told you before, I've had people tell me, well, I got some things I need to work out in my life, then I'll start coming to church. But right now, I can't come to church because I've got these issues. Man, the church is full of issues. Just bring yours in. That ain't going to make any difference. Don't try to get okay or try to get better and then come to Christ. Come to Him like you are. That's what Abraham did. You know, the Bible said in Joshua said, our fathers worshiped these idols over here where Abraham was, which probably meant Abraham worshiped idols. Well, now how do you know he did? Well, how do you know he didn't? You know, a scripture that doesn't prove both points proves neither. So I can surmise as well as anybody else, Abraham may have worshiped idols. And God in His grace said, Abraham, I want you to pick up and move down here. I'm not telling you where you're going for sure, but He said, if you'll go, I'm going to bless you. And Abraham went. He said, Abraham, I'm going to give you a kid. And Abraham believed Him. And while he may not have been a very moral person at times, it says God counted him as righteous because he believed. Well, how does God know he believed? Because when he said, leave that area and come down here, he went. After his son was probably 12, 13 years old, he said, now take him up to this hill I'll show you, and I want you to offer him as a sacrifice. And it said Abraham went. And he was to the place he was going to put the knife in his son's heart, had him tied up and laid on the altar. And that's where the first time I read of God swearing by His own name. And the Bible says in Hebrews that because there was nobody else greater to swear by, God swore by Himself. Because of two immutable truths, God can't lie. So if He can't lie, this promise is good. And God said, I'm going to bless you, and that all the nations will be blessed through your seed. Paul said, not many seeds, not the nation of Israel, one seed, Jesus Christ. That's what God asked us to believe for today. John went on to say, there's no judgment against anyone who believes in Him, but anyone who does not believe in Him has already been judged for not believing in God's one and only Son. And the judgment is based on this fact. Listen to this. God's light came into the world, but people loved the darkness more than the light, for their actions were evil. I'm going to tell you, I can remember when Christians would talk to me before I was saved, and I hated it. When they get talking about Jesus and forgiveness of sins, I mean, I felt like 200 pounds of sin on a stick. Like, man, and I wanted to get away from them. I remember one preacher I worked with, Carpenter, and he, the first day on the job, he said, "Rick, are you a Christian?" I said, "No, I used to go to church. I don't go to church, and I don't want to hear it." I said, "You keep your Jesus to you, and I'll do my job." Well, he said, "All right, I won't bring it up to you anymore." But the guy that worked for him, his name was Bernie, and he was a Christian. I've told you this before. And we were shingling the roof, and Bernie was on my left, and Orrin was on my right, and Orrin said, "Bernie, tell me what Jesus Christ is doing in your life." And Bernie, "Oh, praise the Lord, Orrin." And he starts telling us, and I'm sitting there going, "Oh, God." I needed the money. My kids needed to eat. And they did that every day. And I can remember cringing from that. There was an old man that hauled trash around there. Had a rural trash service. Always wore dirty overalls. Very quiet spoken. But he had been a drunkard and into a lot of other things before he came to Christ. And he'd stand there and tell you about what Jesus did in his life. And that old man stand there and the tears would just roll down his eyes. Those tears were searing hot to me. I didn't want to hear it. And the Bible says that's why a lot of people don't come to Christ. They're enjoying their sin. And the light repels them. When you shine a bright light, there's two things going to happen. People will either be attracted or repelled. The Bible says those who love evil want to stay in the dark so their deeds won't be exposed. That's why sometimes my preaching bothers you. Because some of you got some things in your life you know are not supposed to be there. The Holy Spirit's been dealing with you. And then that big mouth preacher gets up there and starts hammering on me. I had a lady at one service said he was talking right to me. Her son told me that. And she was outside shaking, smoking a cigarette. He said, "No, Mom, the Holy Spirit was talking to you. It ain't the preacher. He's just up there preaching the word." But he said, "It's the Holy Spirit talking to you." He said, "Mama, you need to go back in there and get this settled." And she wouldn't do it. She loved her darkness. It says, anyone who believes in God's Son has eternal life. Anyone who doesn't obey the Son will never experience eternal life, but remains under God's fiery judgment. Wow. You see, it's not enough to say, "Well, I believe in Jesus," because the demons believe in Him. What's He done in your life? Have you, by faith, came to God and said, "Look, all I can bring to the table is my sinful, broken life"? That's what God asks. When you come to the table to meet Him, when you sit down to meet God, negotiate with Him, whatever you want to call it, you don't have a thing to offer to Him but a broken life. And God says, "I'll take it. I'll take it." Now, He's not going to leave you that way if you're serious about following Christ. I remember when I finally came to Christ, I got on my knees and started praying that night. I mean, I was by myself, and it was probably a good thing because I started confessing my sins out loud. And if that had happened in church, I'd have probably cleared a room. And there'd been people sitting there thinking, "Boy, that guy can't get saved. My gosh." But see, I reached a point that I didn't want that sin anymore. It wasn't fun. Because it was doing me, and God allowed me to see it was destroying me and everybody around me. God is able and willing to forgive us for our past and to make us new creatures. "Well, I believe in Jesus." That's good. The demons believe in Jesus. But if that's as far as your faith goes, it's demonic faith. Because see, the demons don't change. "Well, I don't want to become a Christian because I don't want to have to give up my cigarettes and my beer." Well, I'm going to tell you something. If you get saved, it's not that you have to, it's you want to. When Jesus starts replacing those things in your life that you were using to satisfy yourself, and you get that joy everlasting and that peace the world can't give, you don't want the other stuff. Get it out of here. Abraham was justified by faith, not by works. Paul makes that very clear in Hebrews. He said that he was justified before the law was ever given. He was justified before he was ever circumcised. He was justified because he believed what God said, and it affected Abraham's life. He spent his whole life serving God and never inherited one inch of that ground. He even had to buy a field to bury his wife in. But Abraham said, someday this is all going to be my descendants. That's what he believed. People asked Peter the apostle what they needed to do when he preached on the day of Pentecost. He said, each of you must repent of your sins. Repent. That means you're not only sorry for him, but it means to turn around, to change your mind. You can't do that until you line up with God and say, you're right, I am a sinner. The stuff I enjoy is sin, and it makes me your enemy, and I don't want to be your enemy anymore. But you understand, as I said, you don't have anything to bring to the table but those sins. You must turn to God. That means you turn away. When you turn to God, you have to turn away from something. And that means you turn away from the world. You turn away from them things in your life you've been allowing, and you turn to God and you cry out for mercy. Sometimes, and I've even said, we talk about, have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Have you accepted Him? Now, accepted is a little better term. The Bible says call out to Him. That's an urgency. Peter, when he preached this message, it said he used many other words and warned the people, you need to escape from this adulterous and wicked generation. Judgment's coming. And while you got this window of opportunity right here that the Holy Spirit's talking to you, don't turn your back on that and walk away, because it gets easier to do every time. So you have to turn away from the world and turn to God. And he says, and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, the New Living says, to show that you have received forgiveness for your sins. Most of the other translations says, for the forgiveness of sins. I had a man argue with me. Said, the Greek says, because your sins have been forgiven. I said, have you had Greek? No. I said, neither have I. But I've looked it up in the concordances, and they all agree that does not say because. It says for. Oh, you're a watery generationist? No, I just do what the Lord tells me to do. So he said, you need to change your mind, turn to God, and be immersed in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins. And after that, you'll receive the Holy Spirit. What? I don't have to do all these works of penance and all these good deeds? The Holy Spirit will deal with you about that once He takes residence in your heart. He'll tell you what to do. He had me writing to people that I had wronged terribly and confessing that to them. And saying, I have found Christ, and I'm so sorry that I did this to you. Now, that was me. He may not ask you to do that, but that's what I did after I came to Christ. I didn't do that before and then come to Jesus, because if you'd have suggested that, I'd have said, that's not my problem. Have you ever, by faith, received what God has to offer you, the forgiveness of sins? Have you ever called out to Him and confessed that you're a sinner needing Jesus Christ? If you haven't, I invite you to do that this morning. Why don't you stand with me? If you're a Christian here this morning, and you've been struggling, and maybe you're away from the Lord, and you got some things in your life, understand something. You don't make a resolve, God, I promise I won't do this anymore. You throw yourself on His mercy like you did at salvation, and you say, God, have mercy on me. I'm a sinner. And I can't fix this. God can. Amen. If you need to do that, why don't you come forward as we sing the song of invitation, Just As I Am. If there's other things you need to settle with the Lord, if you want to talk to me or one of the elders, come talk to us. If not, pray where you're at, but get this settled. And remember, it's not by works that we're justified. It's through the faith like Abraham had. Do you believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God? That's what you need to settle today. prayers. He called John before the service, said he was on the way to the ER. He's got one of them nosebleeds. Keep praying for Laramie Smith, little boy that was burnt. He's doing better. God's a good God, and He always hears our prayers, and He always answers them. Sometimes it's not the answer we want, but He always answers the prayers. Just remember the prayer request on the back of the bulletin. There's probably some unspoken here. God knows the situation. Just be praying. Be praying for the church. Be praying for our elders. Be praying that God's will is going to be done here as it's done in heaven. I already forgot who has the closing prayer. Okay, thank you.
Heavenly Father, we thank You once again for the privilege of coming to Your house, for offering up our worship and our praise to You, Lord. We thank You for Your word. Thank You that it's faithfully proclaimed. We pray, Lord, as we go out, that this would not just be something that we hear and apply for a short time on a Sunday morning, but that we would take it with us, and that we would purpose in our hearts each day of the week, Lord, to put You first, to seek You, to serve You, to live for You, to give You glory and honor, which You alone deserve. Lord, this coming week, help us to be thankful as we reflect on all those good things that You have provided for us, most of all, as Rick was talking about this morning, the gift of Your Son, how He came into this world to save sinners. We thank You for the salvation that You so freely offer us. Lord, it's our desire to worship You, to praise You, to live for You. We pray for those who aren't here today. We pray for Doc, that You would be with him today. We pray for Laramie Smith once again, that You would heal him, bring him through this, be with his parents. Show Yourself mightily in their lives, Lord, through this trial. And we thank You for Your grace, Your love, and Your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen.